Doctor Show!
You have all made it through the
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the John of All Trades podcast episode. No episode number, because episode numbers are only for guests. Kind of like how coffee's for closers, episode numbers are for guests. This is a special episode, because it's just me. That's right, you're getting only John X. And I'm pretty much not even going to edit this. This is all going to be in one take. This is off the cuff. This is sort of as I think about it. So here we are. It's July. It's July 14th as I record this. It's Bastille Day, which, you know, is everyone's favorite holiday, because what should we be celebrating more than French independence? So here I am, 3 months removed from leaving my corporate gig. And I have to tell you, things have never, ever been better. It's fantastic. It's amazing. And it's hard to imagine being at this point 3 months ago. When I left, the world was all opportunity. It was all sort of available to me, you know? And moving from theory into practice is not always the easiest thing, because when you leave one thing, and when you're sort of there for a long time, you're thinking to yourself, okay, now what the hell do I do? Because my entire routine was different. I woke up, I remember the next morning after I got laid off. It was April 8th. I woke up. I didn't set my alarm, which was weird. You know, I still have the two meowing jerk faces that make me wake up and feed them every morning. And so I did that. And then I've got the baby. So I've got the two alarm clocks. You know, I've got meowing jerk faces. And then the baby, who obviously needs to be fed. And so I remember I woke up. I did that. Kristen went off and did whatever she was doing. I can't remember what she was doing that day, but I was alone by myself. And I was just like home in the middle of the day. And I'm like, okay, so I can't be the only person who is, you know, home in the middle of the day. There have got to be other people like this. I don't know any, because normally, you know, I go put my business casual on and I go check into a filing cabinet and I sit there for 9-10 hours a day doing whatever it is you do in your corporate job. And then I come home. Occasionally you sort of poke your head out and look out onto the 16th Street Mall or wherever you happen to work. And you see the other sort of corporate people, everyone wearing the same sort of uniform and walking around and doing their thing. Well, I've seen a brand new set of day people. It's weird because, and I wrote this on the blog. By the way, I haven't been blogging much on the John of All Trades, like, homepage. And when I say not much, I mean not at all. I haven't blogged anything there in a while except for the episode teasers and then the descriptions of the episodes themselves, which have links to all the projects that people are working on and stuff. So I hope you've checked that out. And then each episode is embedded there on the blog. But I used to have other blog pieces. That's now moved over to the Deftcom website. So deftcom.us, deftcom.us. And one of the things I wrote about, it's an article called Day People. And the day people are different than you experience when you're in corporate. So, you know, I've been going to like the coffee shops around town, and there's a bunch of really great ones. I have two favorites in particular, and I'm going to give them a plug right now. The first one is obviously Rooster and Moon. And check out episode 3, because Jason Calloway is the guest there and he runs Rooster and Moon. And so he'll see me and he's like, you know, John X, good to see you. Glad to have you. You can always class up my joint anytime. And I'd like to put in a plug for one thing I get there all the time. It's the Wrigley. It's this salad that's like mixed greens with nuts and feta cheese. And the dressing in particular is what crushes it. The dressing is amazing. It's like this strawberry avocado vinaigrette. And it, I mean, that's, it's so silky and so delicious, and it goes perfectly with everything else in the salad. I get that almost every time I'm there. It's terrific. So Rooster and Moon's one place that I go, and it's one of my favorite places to hang out. Great vibe, cool people. And then the other place is Hooked on Colfax, and that's on like Colfax and Steele. Rooster and Moon, 9th and Bannock over in the Golden Triangle. Hooked on Colfax, it's like Colfax and Steele, Colfax and Adams thereabouts. And also a great vibe. A little bit closer to the house, so it depends on what side of town I'm on. I would probably say I spend about equal time at both. But the day people I see are like different. You know, you'll see like a lot of students, a lot of what I presume to be grad students. I have no idea. I don't ask them. But you see them in there and, you know, they're doing their thing. They're either working in study groups or writing papers or whatever, or meeting with each other, or, you know, just doing their student thing. Sometimes there's like hungover comedians who come in and like work on their material and stuff. You'll see vendors come in and, you know, people coming in and out, like restocking coffee filters or pitching new beers and stuff. Both of these places are coffee pubs, which is fantastic. So you go from your day, you got to start your day, you got to go up, you work all day, you come down. It's like, all right, it's time for a beer. I can do it all in the same place, which is just aces in my opinion. So you'll see all manner of people. And, you know, sometimes there's just like these burned out hippies who go there and hang out and like read Jack Kerouac and stuff like that. And you're going, okay, so like what do these people do? Sometimes you'll see people who work nights, which is different. And I go, right, there are people in this city, in this community, in this world who work nights. And it's been such a nice change of pace because you get used to doing things one way and seeing the world in one particular way. And having that totally changed has been just tremendous in so many ways. It's given me so much energy. And the weirdest thing about being on my own is that I don't have any like presenteeism sort of pressures, any concerns about, you know, sitting at my desk all day, regardless of how busy I am. Because in a corporate environment, you know, you're probably always busy. And, you know, there's meetings to do, there's emails to return, there's phone calls to receive, there's any number of tasks that have to go on. But you pretty much have to do them at that one particular like block of the day. And there's not a lot of flexibility with that. You know, on the rare occasion, you know, where you're out, and granted, my corporate job, I was sort of on the go more than some other corporate jobs. Like if you're an accountant and you have all these different things to do, you're probably best doing them at your desk. Whereas me, I'm meeting with people all over town. You know, you do public affairs, public relations. You have to go any number of places. So you're kind of on the go. But if I was like lollygagging or dragging my feet a bit, or, you know, if I ran a personal errand, God forbid, I was always thinking, I'm like, oh God, I hope someone's not walking by my desk right now and noticing that I'm not there. And, you know, I don't know what I thought would happen if it's like elementary school and someone's going to tattle on me to my boss or whatever, which I think happened a total of zero times in my 4.5 years at this previous job. But it always sort of lingers in your head. You're almost like a prisoner to this block of time on these particular days. And in some ways, that's really stifling. So what I found is that there are some days where, you know, I work the standard sort of, you know, 8 to 4, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever, 9 to 6, 8 to 6, whatever it is. You know, you'll work sort of that standard part of the day. There are other days like today where, you know, Grace, my daughter, hadn't seen her grandma in a long time because my grandma's been traveling. She's been on the road. Our schedules haven't lined up and stuff. So we went up there today in the middle of the day and hung out at the pool. And I go, hey, this is pretty good. We had the pool all to ourselves. It's a Tuesday, for God's sakes. It's a Tuesday around noon. No one is at the pool at that time. And so the fact that we got to do that is just terrific. Came home, daughter took a nap, started banging away. You know, I sent stuff to a client, I think, on Friday at like 6:30 p.m., which if I was working my corporate job and, you know, you have your time, you have your sort of set day. And the way we worked was a condensed work week. So you'd work 9 hours Monday through Thursday and then a half day Friday. So like 4 hours. So total of 40 hours, just cut a little bit differently. My Friday afternoons, I always try to take for myself, even though most people are still working then. So I'd get emails and I'd be like, why are you working? No one should be working during this time. Damn you. Leave me alone. I'm off this time. I don't want any emails. Whereas now, you know, it's like, okay, well, I got some time now. May as well just bang this out. And I sent off some materials that I had to send to a client and sent them to them at 6:30 on a Friday. I'll work Saturday mornings. I'll work Sunday nights. I will work, you know, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. sometimes. Sometimes I'll wake up early in the morning. I kind of work whenever, and that's invigorating. It's just kind of mind-blowing in a lot of ways, and it's hard to describe if you're not in it. Because you go, yeah, well, you do the work you need to do when you need to do it. Inherently, that makes sense. However, when you're so used to doing things in such a regimented way, do it this way. We need this product, and here's how you should do it. Because I'm of the firm belief, and by the way, we're going to go kind of all over the place. This is stream of consciousness, and as I told you, I'm not going to edit this. This is just going to kind of exist for this half hour, however long it is. We're, what, 10 minutes in now? However long it goes, that's how long it's going to go. So bear with me because we're going to kind of go all over the place here. But I'm of the opinion that you can tell someone what to do or how to do it, but not both. And I've worked for some people now, no one presently. The clients that I have now are great, and I have three clients, and I'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. But previously, my supervisors wanted to say both what I had to do and how I should do it. And that just really rubbed me the wrong way. That was not an environment that I thrived in. One of the things I say about one of my superiors at my previous job was he had a very particular way of doing things. And it's not any better or worse necessarily, like, or inherently, than the way I do them. They're just different. So I think that caused friction because the way that he liked to do things was get everyone in a room, have a meeting, you know, sort of cast as wide a net as possible. And at the end of that long, circuitous conversation, whatever sort of got dragged back in the nets is sort of what we would do. I don't function well in that environment. That is just not me in the least. When I'm in a big group team environment like that for many hours at a time, like if we have a meeting where we need to talk about something, I want to have a specific agenda and I want to make sure we cover those. It's like number one, bang, number two, boom, number three, bang. And why I characterized it like that or why I use those sound effects, I don't know, made me sound really douchey. But regardless, I like there to be specific objectives, specific deliverables, and we sort of stay on task and we're very sort of regimented in the way we do it. His was sort of all over the place. And he liked getting everyone together and hearing their ideas and, you know, thinking it out and sort of talking it aloud. That, for me, is just exhausting and not a place where I'm terribly productive. So that was very difficult. I'm at my best when I have my computer open. I mean, this is a consultant mindset. You got to be thinking deliverables. It's like, what does my client need? What is their deadline? What is their budget? And how do I achieve that? So it's like having the what do we need to do sort of outlined, and I'm making a box in the air. This is radio, not television, but I'm making sort of a yard, like a box. Think about it like that. Here's what we need. Here are the parameters. Go do it. And however you figure out to do it, just get it done. That's the way I like to manage my consultants. That's the way I like my clients to work with me. That's where I function. Like, that's where I'm at my most effective. And this old superior of mine didn't function that way. So the fact that I'm back in that environment, I haven't worked this hard in a very long time because I am forced to be just insanely productive and churning out content. Because one of the things you hire a consultant for, particularly a communications consultant, is to generate the raw material. So writing, concepts, you know, documents, visioning things. And because that stuff takes a long time and it takes a lot of energy. And if you are in the corporate environment or if you are running your business, God forbid, you don't have a lot of time to do that kind of stuff. You need someone to put in the legwork and the spade work. Choose your analogy there. I like them both, depending on if I'm in a running mood or a gardening mood. But regardless, you need someone to do all of that sort of tough work and then say, okay, I've thought about this. I've put a lot of effort into it. Here it is. Here you go. Here is the thing, something from which to start. And then once you have that, you go, okay, good. I like this. I don't like this. It's much easier to edit than to generate. That's what I found. And that's sort of what I like to do. The whole creative brainstorming process invigorates me. And then going back to a client and saying, here's what I've come up with. Here's my best shot. Mold it so that it is optimal to what you want? How do we match my work to your vision? And it's really cool to get to do that process again, because I was on the other side. I'd get all the stuff delivered to me. I'd go like that, lose that, change this, tweak this. But I didn't get to do a lot of the generation type stuff. And it's amazing when you work any job, you learn sort of what your strengths are and what you like. But what's equally important is learning what you don't like and what, like, where you don't thrive. And being back in this environment, I feel like I'm thriving more than ever. So, man, it's weird not having a guest here and having to do most of the talking. It's strange. Again, it's like consulting. You have to generate all the raw material. I go, okay, there's a long pause. I can edit that one out, and I can catch my breath. But nope. We're kind of going without a net here. Again, it's invigorating. Let's take some risks. Let's do new shit. And let's just keep going to the best of our ability. So as I thought about doing this episode, I put it out to my listeners. I go, you know, what do you want to know about? We spend a lot of time on this show talking to others about what they do and how they do it. What would you like to know from me? Anything at all. And one of the things I think about when I think about this show is I want the focus to be on my guests. I mean, it's John of all trades, so I want to feature as many trades as possible, mostly because that's what I find interesting. Anytime I can dig in with someone and say, wow, so this is part of your job, this is interesting to me, you know, let's dig more deeply into that. You probably haven't thought about this because for you, you're doing it by rote now. But the main connecting thread of this show, if you listen regularly, is me. You know, I'm the only connective tissue in all of these episodes. Whether I'm going from talking to a professional wrestler, which, by the way, I love talking to Rob Risen. That guy is just, he's so much fun. And you know, you geek out over wrestling. It's terrific. If memory serves, the very next episode was with Andrea Antonioni, who's a therapeutic musician. Those are two very different people and two very different approaches and, you know, sort of two different constitutions. And that could be a hard pivot, but because I'm so curious in everything, it all kind of springs from me. So I thought, you know what, let's throw it out there. Let's let people ask whatever they want to know. And one of the questions I got was, you know, how do I sort of manage the pressure of trying to get a home run? And when you're a consultant, you want to, like, have a lot of success right out of the box. And you want to get that home run and, you know, say to everyone, hey, look at this. I'm legit. Like, this is not just me sort of here farting on a snare drum. By the way, I quoted Airheads in a recent blog post, and I love that movie so much, and anytime I get to quote it again, that's great. And so I use that, you know, our album could be Pip farting on a snare drum. So my business could be Pip farting on a snare drum. And you want to prove to people that it's not, that, hey, it's substance, I have actual talent, I have business, because anytime you're putting yourself out there, it's a risk. You're very insecure about it. And so the pressure to get a home run is very real. This question comes from Kyle. Kyle was part of the laid-off special, so he's a nice bookend here. And when I started this business, when I started Deft Communications, it was kind of nice because, you know, there was some winking and nodding. It's like, you know, I sort of had an idea I was getting laid off, so I started talking to people, and I go, you know, this may be happening, and if I come available, you know, would you guys be interested in talking to me? And much to my surprise and delight, I had a lot of people say, yeah, we'd love to talk to you. You know, we'd love to see you out of this environment working on some different things, you know, because you have talent. And I go, thank you. That's flattering. It's very much appreciated. And yeah, if this does come to pass, we'd love to talk to you. Now, obviously, I didn't do anything beforehand because that would be unethical and that would be terrible. But, you know, you're sort of trying to create your own net as you approach, I call it the cliff. I mean, 4.5 years, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, it's over. It's done. And granted, they soften that blow when they give you severance. But still, you're out on your own. You don't have people telling you what you need to do now. You got to set that agenda on your own. So the pressure to get a home run. The first domino that really fell was I got one client and it was a really good client. And it's people I'm familiar with, people I've done work with before, and they wanted me to do something that was right in my wheelhouse. So it was almost like it could not have gone better. And you know what? I'd call that a home run, because it's not every time where you take the leap and you start flapping your wings trying to fly, and all of a sudden you go, whoa, I haven't hit the ground yet. What happened? And that happened almost immediately. I mean, that was really, really quick. So that gave me confidence. I go, you know what? I got this one client here. It's a good rate. I'm feeling really good about it. I know I can do this work, and I know I can deliver it for them. And that set me up sort of beautifully. So yeah, Kyle, I think I got the home run early. And then from there, it wasn't long after that that I got a second client that was sort of outside of my expertise. And, you know, I'd worked in this one industry for so long, and I'm sorry I'm being vague, but I don't know. You know, you still worry. No matter how far away you get, you're still always sort of in the mental prison of thinking like you have for the previous 4.5 years. So if it sounds like I'm being cagey, I am a little bit, but I think necessarily so. So whatever. That's going to be whatever it's going to be. The second client came to me and they said, you know what, let's do some content generation. You're a really good writer. Create us some content. You know, help us understand our brand more. This is who we are. So I sat down with their founder, with their, you know, managing broker. This was in real estate. And I said, you know, how are you guys different? Who's your competition? And I did some market analysis first. And the first pass I made at writing for them, I sat down with him and he said, we like it. It's good, but it's way too corporate sounding. And I go, okay, I understand the words you're saying. Like, they're all English, but I don't think I have heard them in this order in quite some time. Your writing is too corporate. And I go, okay, let me take another crack at it. And he goes, take your suit off, put on the jeans. I go, okay, that helps. So the very next day I sat down with it and I go, okay, I got to loosen this up. Got to get out of the corporate mindset. And I rewrote it. I sent it to him. And then this was the other part that just totally blew my mind. And any of you who've worked in corporate for any number of years or any substantial amount of time will recognize this. But I went and met with him on a different project we were working on. I go, by the way, did you get that material I sent you? Was it good? Does it need any tweaking? He goes, no, I looked at it and it's fine. It's real good. We're going to go with it. And I go, okay, I'm sorry. You're making me use new muscles again, but we don't have to review this like 3 more times. You don't need buy-in from like 4 other people. We don't have to show this around. And he goes, dude, I don't fucking have time to review this 3 more times. Once we get to a place where I go, yep, that's good. I got something else to do, man. And I go, wow. All right. I can get used to this. This is fun. This is different. I don't have to sweat blood over revisions. You know, should we use the word of here or should we use the word with? Huh. I don't know. Let's have another 2-hour meeting about it. And then, you know what? Let's redo the concept and let's start from square one. And you're going, oh my God, I'm going to sleep with a pistol in my mouth tonight because we're never going to finish this, are we? Like this is, and if we ever do, it's going to be so far past the point of me giving a shit that whatever, just do whatever you want. Here, when this happened, he goes, no, it's good. We're good to go. Let's move on to the next thing. I go, okay, I'll just go have a Coke and a smile then. And that's what I did. So from there, I've been working with those two clients. I adore them both so much. They're both just great to work with. And, you know, they sort of trust me. It's like, we hired you to do this. Please go do it. And they get it back. They go, yep, you understood the goals. You understood the budget. You understand what we're trying to do. And I go, hey, here we go. I think this is how success feels. And then from there, I just recently booked a third client. And this third client has put me in a place where I am now, how do I want to phrase this? Let's just say I'm doing better than I was in corporate in pretty much every way possible. Yeah. I'm doing better than I was 3 months ago in pretty much any way you want to understand that. Sound good? Again, I'm being cagey, but I don't care. And this third client is a project I'm really, really excited about. If you want to learn more about this, you can go to deftcom.us, deftcom.us. And, you know, I'll have a press release about the three new clients. And then I've got a lot of really great blog content there. I mentioned the one about the day people. I wrote one about how older generations always want to crap on the younger generation and why they shouldn't and why there's really nothing to worry about. That one was fun to write because it stemmed from a conversation I had with members of the older generation. They go, you know, our music was the only one with substance. And I go, yeah, okay, that's good. So is that a fact? Did Purple Haze have substance? Again, going back to the movie Airheads, because that is such a perfect quote. Yeah, no, totally. When we listened to a band like Strawberry Alarm Clock, those guys really had something to say. So good stuff here. Yeah. Purple Haze, really, really important song about getting high. Our generation, nothing. Yeah. No, there's no goodness to be had there. The other question I got was, from Mark Leverett, who, he was on the show. I just called him Auteur. I want to say he was like episode 23, maybe 24, something like that. And he asked me, now that I'm out of an office, is it easier to fap during the daytime or does the baby screw it all up? Which, okay, slightly different direction than the other question, but I suppose in the words of The Simpsons, no less cromulent. And I would say yes. With regard to the baby has not impeded that activity one way or the other. So you work around the baby regardless, daytime or nighttime. But being outside of the office, yes, I would assert that generally it is easier if one were so inclined. So there you go. Two very important questions. Do you feel the pressure to get the home run? Is it easier to fap during the day now that you're not working in a corporate environment? There you go. That's what we do on this show. It's a meeting of highbrow, lowbrow. It's kind of everywhere in between. But I don't know. The point is, yeah, as if I'm going to tie that up in a nice bow. But what I would say is, this has been an amazing experience and just awakening for me, or should I say an awakening in so many different ways. And one of the jokes I have with my friends that we make all the time is the hashtag blessed. When people use that on Facebook or Twitter, I can't help but laugh because it's such a banal hashtag. It's like, wow, look at this sunset. Hashtag blessed. Really? I mean, so we've taken to using that just whenever we can, when it's sort of out of context. But I can't help but think about it now because my life is hashtag blessed right now. I've got a beautiful and talented wife who is crushing it in the real estate market. She's my partner here at Deft Communications. I've got a wonderful, smiley, happy, healthy daughter who is just the light of my life every day. She does something new and she's just so funny and so cool and a great sleeper and a great eater. And I really couldn't ask for more. And then professionally, having these three awesome clients who I adore working with and doing this show and getting to talk to interesting people about their work. And my time is fully my own, where I wake up every day and I go, all right, what do I feel like doing today? How am I going to make this happen? It's just amazing. And I've talked about this before a few times, I think in some intros and outros, but what I was doing for the whole first year of this show was basically learning how to be an entrepreneur. I didn't necessarily realize that at the time. I mean, it's sort of like at the end of The Usual Suspects when Agent Kuyan realizes that Kaiser Soze was sitting in front of him the whole time. That's sort of what happened to me. You know, it's like, oh, that's what this show was actually about. I was actually learning how to do this from people who have done it and done it successfully and love it. And the fact that I'm actually doing it now, I posted on Facebook once. I said, I am living my best life. Thank you all for being a part of it. And one of my good buddies, who he himself is kind of a surly bastard, but he said, if you ever want to go back to the way you were before, just have me remind you of this post and we can all tell you what a surly bastard you used to be. Fair enough. I mean, I think that's accurate. But one of the other things I would say is, if you're listening to this and you yourself are dissatisfied in whatever you're doing and you feel like you've been doing it for too long and it's like, nope, this is my life. I talked to Derek Weber. He was on the show. I want to say he's episode 38, maybe. He and Alex Took co-founded the Peak Properties Group. And I was chatting with him recently, and he told me this anecdote about his father. He grew up in North Dakota, and his father had been a farmer and rancher his entire life. And when Derek was 17, I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story, but I don't think he will. When he was 17, his father said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. So rented out the farm, did it for another year, sold the farm, you know, sold the cattle, and went into construction. He changed his life after doing that for almost the entirety of it. And he said, no more. I'm done. Went into construction. Now he manages an Ace Hardware. He's a happy, happy dude. So what Derek told me, he goes, it's never too late to make a change. He made a change too. He went from education to real estate. And, you know, that's scary. Change is tumultuous. Change is unsettling. It's unnerving. It's disorienting. But you can do it. You very much can. And I know it's only been 3 months, but in those 3 months, I am now doing better in every sense of the word than I was at my previous gig, which, I'll be honest, was a good gig. That's a gig a lot of people would like to have. You know, it's with a really good company. It's with a prominent company. It's with interesting job duties. It's with responsibility. You get to meet interesting people. You do cool things. And I wasn't totally happy. And granted, I was sort of nudged off the cliff. But in a lot of ways, I'm grateful for that. Because now, as I have said, I am living my best life. So it's spectacular. And I thank you all for being a part of it. And so, where are we at time-wise? About 33 minutes. I think that's about a good time to wrap this up. Because, you know, normally we go an hour. But that's two people. You don't need to hear me for another half hour. It's like a Mitch Hedberg joke. You know, he goes, why are all sitcoms 30 minutes when this album has to be 45? You're never watching a show thinking, you know, I want to see that character for 15 minutes more. And if I keep talking here, it's just going to devolve into me telling old Mitch Hedberg punchlines. You know, like, I'm really excited for this show to be over because I have a roll of Lifesavers in my pocket and pineapple is next. There's just going to be more of that. And no one needs that. Just go listen to Mitch Hedberg, Strategic Grill Locations. You know, Mitch altogether, both great albums, love them both, miss him dearly, great comic. And I thank you for being a part of it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show. What can I say, man? I'm grateful. I'm feeling great. I hope you are too. I hope you keep listening. And you know what? Let's play the outro music. That'll do it for this week. Join us next week when I have an actual honest-to-God guest again. Let's talk about their trade. And you know what? Maybe we'll do this again sometime soon because this wasn't too terribly painful. It's a half hour of my life, half hour of yours, and we all learned something. This show is brought to you. It's a production of Deaf Communications, which we've already plugged enough, but it's brought to you by 4Degrees. Number 4, DEGRE.ES. your one-stop shop for all your online communications needs. No matter who you are trying to reach, Deft Communications will do it cheaper, they will do it better, and they will do it in the most targeted way possible, reaching people where they are, where they work, where they live, where they play. They will find them, and they will get your message in front of them. So check them out. 4Degrees, the number 4, DEGRE.ES. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Find me there. I will link to the blog post on Deft Communication on the John of All Trades Facebook page and Twitter page. That's J-O-A-T pod for both. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Appreciate it very much. That helps the exposure of the John of All Trades podcast. New episodes are previewed on Monday. They drop on Wednesday. So come back next Monday. You'll find out who's on the show. Then download it on Wednesday. And until you do that, thank you for listening. Say goodnight.